Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Inside Secrets of the Caribbean. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome Verena from Ballymbush Estate in St. Lucia. How are you?
Hi, welcome, everyone. I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, you know what? Absolutely stunning. I've been to the website and I've looked around and I was actually calculating how much it would cost me to move in to one of the cabins that you have on your estate because it is stunning. There is quite a history about this estate as well. It used to be a plantation and that history goes back to prior to more than most of my ancestors were ever born. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, of course, a human habitation started around 500 AD, and that was the indigenous Arawak and Carib Indians, as they're commonly known. We've actually found a lot of artifacts on the property, pieces of pottery and stone tools. And so there's been people living here for a very, very long time. And I'm sure everyone's familiar with the sort of story of that. And of course, the Europeans and the Africans and the East Indians who came after. But there's really traces of all of these cultures still on the island. And it's, you know, what makes it so fascinating and also challenging at times. But I think we're all coming to terms with our history. And I feel like the Caribbean's done a pretty good job at that, actually. And well, Ballymbush is one of those places that has really sort of seen it all from, like I said, from the indigenous people through all the wars and slavery and colonialism and independence and up to the present day. So there's a lot of history here and there's a lot of really beautiful things and really horrible things that happened here over the decades.
But I mean, it's all part of embracing the history, because if we don't remember the horrible things, we are bound to repeat them. So it is nice to make sure that that is kept as part of the history in order to carry on forward and make sure that it doesn't happen again. What do you have now? What is your estate like at present time?
Well, I mean, it's, I guess the best way to describe it would be like an eco escape. it's 80 acres. It's really a fairly large property still, and it's a very special place in the sense that it's a place that's really immersed in nature, that has it's hard to describe, but we are a small eco place, and of course the focus now is on tourism, but really people come here to heal and to reconnect and to get away and to sort of go back to like a simpler time as well, and less of all the modern influences, less stress. It's really a place to sort of regroup and ground yourself, and a lot of people feel like it's a very spiritual place. We really also are very focused on wellness and body, mind, spirit, all of that. But it's a very sort of thing that it's very organic. It happened in a very organic way, so it was not really something that we consciously set out to do. It's just that the place just provides that sort of setting.
And there, you know, you've got access to the beach. There's not a lot of accommodation on the acreage. It is rather sort of a small, well-kept. Do they have access to food? Do they eat on site as well?
Yes. Of course, things are always evolving, but we do cook for our guests. So we have six cottages that we rent out, and they're all very unique. They're all very different. A lot of them are somewhat historic, the buildings that were already here that we've added on to. They now all have kitchens, which is something that we did just this last year, and partially because of the pandemic, we wanted to make sure that everybody could be self-sufficient. But we also typically prepare meals for our guests. So we have breakfast normally served at the plantation house, which is a 180-year-old building, which is also where we live. So it's really multifunctional. It's a museum, a home, a restaurant, a bit of everything. And we do dinners, and now we're doing grocery deliveries, meal deliveries. So it's really a combination of things.
Well, you have sort of started growing crops there as well, because somewhere on your side, it was saying that you're pesticide free. Tell us what you grow on the plantation.
Okay, well, currently we have a lot of tree crops, of course, which we've always had, coconuts, papayas, breadfruit, star fruit. We have things also medicinal, like the noni fruit and the moringa. And there's a lot of wild plants, actually, that you can forage for. And so that's another thing that we're also getting into. Of course, last year, thinking about, okay, how are we going to survive if everything really shuts down? And we could survive. It's there's really a lot here that that's just abundant in nature. But we don't ourselves do a lot of sort of commercial farming at the moment. We've had various sharecroppers, so we still do that where we allow people to plant gardens and have their cattle here. And so we have these arrangements, and they're typically without money. So we just do a little trade. Of course, in the past, this was a working plantation, and the main crops were first sugarcane, cotton, citrus, coconuts, also livestock. And we harvested coconuts up until 91. And then after that sort of changed to other crops, and then slowly transitioned to tourism. We'd love to bring back the farming kind of more intensively, but it does require a bit more resources and human resources, as well as capital, more than what we have currently. So we're kind of working back towards introducing farming in a, of course, sustainable way, but in a smart way as well. So that takes a bit of planning.
Well, it almost seems like you're creating a utopia there, where you could literally move in and not need the outside world in the slightest.
In some ways, yes. I mean, of course, we're dependent on tourism right now. So in some ways, yes, and in some ways, not at all, because we do really depend on the people coming here to support us. But we could transition to a self-sufficient community. That would be possible, and we've thought about it. I think what would be nice is kind of a mix of things. Obviously we're also rethinking this concept of travel and mass tourism, and right now we really like the fact that people are coming to St. Lucia to stay more long term. And we think that this could be a great model for the future, where we have, maybe a few people still, many people still doing the short-term travel, but more and more people coming here to spend the whole winter or even a year or two to work remotely. And it's possible now. And so that's one of the good things about this pandemic, is that it has opened up some new possibilities for people. And it's been really nice to meet the people that are currently traveling and doing that.
So aside from the farming that you're looking into in the future, what else do you see going on for the future of Ballinbush Estate?
We don't want to become much bigger. So we really, it's important for us to stay small and unique and bespoke and personal, because it is a family business. And we really want to be able to provide that sort of intimate setting and be personally involved, get to meet all of our guests. And we want it to be also manageable, so that we don't have to become too commercial. But we would love to, of course, add the farming, more farming, more organic farming. We would love to do the alternative energy, solar energy, if that becomes feasible in the next few years, which I think it will. We would probably like to do one or two more buildings. There's one project in particular that we've been sort of dreaming about for a long time, which is to convert one of the old ruins into a kind of a museum, gallery, and cafe. Because we have all these artifacts and there is all this history and also art, and we would love to be able to kind of showcase that more. But that's a difficult project because it doesn't really make money. So we have to think about, you know, how and when would we be able to do that. But I think it would really enhance the overall, you know, value of the place as a heritage place.
Well, tell me about the well-being. I mean, you showed me a little bit of one of the interiors of one of the cabins, as it were, earlier. And I noticed you have like a massage bed almost set up. Now, when it comes to wellness, what services do you offer there?
One of the things, of course, is yoga. So that's always very popular. Yoga, meditation, all kinds of different types of healing therapies as well. You know, we can do Reiki. So we have a network of people on the island, and also people come from overseas. So in the past, we've had quite a few retreats, and that's something we'd like to expand on some more. So not only nutrition, wellness, yoga, meditation, but also things like artist retreats or spiritual retreats. It could be weight loss, survival training, building. We've had students here. We've had archaeology students. We were planning another project with some geology students. So anything that's educational, cultural, and wellness, really anything that really has to do with personal growth, we'd love to do more of.
Well, let me ask you, when your guests are there, you have 80 acres. Is it accessible? Is all 80 acres accessible to your guests?
Not exactly, because a lot of it is wild, and we like it that way. I mean, you know, there's in terms of the space, there is the northern boundary is the main road. So it's very easy access to buses and the rest of the island. There's sort of one main road that goes all around the island. And we're right between the international airport and Soufrière. And Soufrière is where the famous Pitons are, which is a World Heritage Site, and where a lot of the attractions are. And that's about a half-hour drive. And then the international airport is a 20-minute drive. And we're right in the middle. So I have to say that I feel like we're in the best spot on the island, because the south part is the most authentic and most sort of beautiful part. There's also then on the western boundary, there's basically a large pasture where we have some cows and horses. But a lot of that is not so accessible, really, because it's all kind of forested and grown up as well. And then on the eastern boundary, there is a river, which is the Ballenbush River. And then, of course, there's the coastline. And on the coastline, there are four beaches that adjoin the property. And two of them are very, you know, easy to access, where you can swim as well. So we have our own more or less private black sand beach. And it's a very wild, natural, beautiful beach where you can be completely on your own. And so right now, especially, people really appreciate that. And because St. Lucia has a 2-week quarantine. And so when you arrive right now, international travelers have to remain on property for most of the time. They can take certified tours, but they're really encouraged to kind of stay on wherever they are. But here, they don't feel confined at all, because they can roam around, they can walk up the river, they can go to the beach, they can be in the garden. We've got cats and dogs and other people to interact with. And so, of course, all of it's safely abiding by the protocols, but it is really its own little world. So we're just so grateful to be here right now and not in a city somewhere.
Well, I can imagine. I've been talking to a lot of people that have been in quarantine, a lot of crew around the world, actually, that have been in quarantine in places like Australia. Now England, of course, has quarantine, but we're talking like travel lodge. You know, you're stuck literally in a hotel room with food being dropped off at the door, and that's it. So the idea of being in quarantine in a place like yours, that's heaven. I think people, even out of quarantine times, living, you know, on a site like yours 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, sounds like heaven.
I think a lot of people are really enjoying it. Of course, 2 weeks can't be a long time. So sometimes there's, you know, people do feel a little bit restless and they want to see the island more. So we've also been really encouraging people to stay more than 2 weeks, because if you can do 3 weeks at least, then you have that last week to go around, rent a car and see the island. And at that point, you've really kind of, you've settled in and you're in a different space. After 2 weeks of being in a place like Balambush, your mind's in a different place. And I think that it's almost like a retreat.
Well, and I have to say, I mean, I was taking a look at the prices on your website and, you know, it's probably below what a lot of people would pay for just a regular hotel room in any city across the face of the planet. So it really is a dream. It's a very well hidden dream, but you know, once people discover it, I am sure that you're going to see that there's a lot of people that are wanting to book in.
I think so. No, it's really, we don't do a lot of marketing, and then it's a lot of it is word of mouth and friends of friends and repeat guests, and we like that. I know I need to do more marketing because the occupancy is actually low because it's so seasonal, and the place, I mean, it's actually nice to travel almost all year round. There are only 2 or 3 months that are not ideal, but it's just that people want to get away in the winter. That's understandable. And I have to say that, you know, this is not a place for everyone. It is a rustic place. It's the accommodations are simple. They're open to the outdoors. There are no screens. There's no air conditioning. There's no swimming pool. There's no bar, no nightlife. And it takes a little bit of getting used to, you know, so we live with nature. We live with all the bugs and, all the little quirky things and, you know, that you encounter, when you get to know the real Caribbean. And we're at the point where we're like, you know what, if that's not for you, then that's fine. But if it is, you'll love it.
But it has internet, right?
Yes, we do have Wi-Fi now in all of the cottages. Yeah, we're constantly improving and making things more comfortable. And of course, it's a place that's old, and so it requires a lot of maintenance. It's large, the garden and all the buildings, and so we know most of it's basically like a nonprofit. We're just trying to keep it going as best as we can, but it is amazing, and it has a lot of potential to like you said, to appeal to even more people and to attract those people who really appreciate this kind of thing.
Well, you know what? I, for one, am going to count the days until I can come and visit. And I thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you so much. This was a real pleasure to be able to share my home and my passion. Thank you.
It is very beautiful. Once again, this has been Verena from the Balambush Estate in St. Lucia. Stunning place. I would highly recommend checking it out and letting me know how it goes. I'll get there one day. You've been watching another edition of Inside Secrets of the Caribbean. My name is Rhea. I've been your host. Please tune in again next week.